Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading this morning is from Matthew, chapter 17, reading from verses 1 to 9. You'll find that on page 984 of the Pew Bible. 984. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered him, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the second reading this morning is from second reading of Peter, chapter 1, reading from verses 16 to 21. "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him in the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Amen. May God add his blessing to these readings.
Thank you. Loving God, thank you for that moment of beauty and peace in our worship together. So hard for us to be still. May the words of my mouth and the meditation and reflection of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Transfiguration Sunday is actually next week, but we are having ours in Kay Park a week early, which is today. The story of the transfiguration of Jesus. What do you make of the story that was read to you this morning? For me, there are two lines in the story that stand out above all others. There is that voice from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Not just a prophet, not just a good teacher, not just a rebel leader, but the Son of God. And then later on in the reading, the disciples are terrified. They have fallen face down. And we read these words: "When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus." This story is reminiscent of others that we come across in the Bible. For example, there's Moses and the burning bush, where the voice comes to Moses from the bush. Or Jacob and the ladder of angels, again in the Old Testament. Or Job and the whirlwind and the voice coming out of the whirlwind. Preacher and writer Barbara Brown Taylor says this about these kind of stories in the Bible: "They are cracked doors between this world and some other, brighter place, where God is no absentee landlord, but a very palpable presence. They are cracked doors between this world and some other brighter place, where God is no absentee landlord, but is a very palpable presence." I found myself asking this week, when was the last time in my life that I sensed a palpable presence of God near me? You could maybe ask yourself the same question. All in all, things don't seem to happen in our lives like they did in Bible stories, do they? When was the last time you walked past a bush in Kilmarnock and a voice came out of that bush? Well, it could have, but probably because somebody had ended up there by accident. But it's really interesting, isn't it? Because in the Bible, stuff seems to happen in the Bible that doesn't seem to happen to us. And I think that what we do a lot of the time is we try to domesticate it and we try to explain it away. That was then. That was what those people understood. But we don't see it like that. But there's still a desire within people to know God's presence. Some people will choose to fast. So we're coming up to the season of Lent. And during Lent, there are some Christians who will choose to have periods of a day where they really are fasting. They're not just missing out chocolate, but they're going without food for the entire day or a number of days because they want to be in a place where they can sense God's presence. Some people go on a pilgrimage. Some people go on a prayer retreat. People do different things to try and experience that presence of God near to them. When we find Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, And the picture that's on the front of your order of service today is a place that those of you who are coming to the Holy Land with me next year will visit. It's Mount Tabor that we will go to. And there is a church in Mount Tabor called the Church of the Transfiguration. And it has this incredible dome with this beautiful piece of artwork which is pictured on the front there. But when we see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is a truly remarkable scene. It's incredible in the proper sense of that word. I think we need to be really careful that we don't become too reductionist in our faith, that we don't come up with stories that fit with our rational way of looking at the world and dispense the holy and the mystery and the glory that is God. We need to pause. We need to look closer. We need to open our hearts and our minds to experience something of that glory of God. One writer speaking about this says this: when Peter, James and John, whether Peter, James and John had an ecstatic vision, or whether Jesus was literally, if briefly, metamorphosized before their eyes, the natural physical phenomenon of bright light was secondary to the supernatural affirmation of the voice that came from heaven. This Jesus, whom the disciple follows, was not just an itinerant rabbi, a clever sage, a political provocateur. This Jesus was the Son of God, the Lord of all human history. Hear the voice say, "This is my beloved Son." Transfiguration is about seeing things differently, about being open to a God who is around us, before us, behind us, above us, within us, beneath us. The ancients spoke about seeing the holy of God in the everyday of life. It was an extremely important concept in the early Celtic Christian church. The idea that the divine and the holy and the glory of God could be known to ordinary people like you and like me. Some of you over the years will have visited the island of Iona. I don't know if you people will have been to Iona. Some of you will know the story of the Iona community. The Iona community has gone through a time of appalling grief in the last 2 months. One of their most gifted and talented musicians, a man called Graham Hall, died. And it was a real shock to the community when Graham died. He did a lot of his writing with John Bell, and he was a man of great integrity, a man of great faith. This week, the former leader of the Iona community, a man called Peter McDonald, minister of Broughton St Mary's in Edinburgh, dropped dead. No notice, no sense that he was unwell, just died. And that community of Iona are going through a really hard time because there are members of the Iona community all over the world. Members of the community who agree to a rule of faith and life. But one of the things that the community speaks about are the thin places in the world where that veil between heaven and earth falls, or if you want another metaphor, the crack in the door opens wider. And for those of you who've been to Iona, many of you would have experienced that sense there of just being that little bit closer to holy things. The spiritual life is not that difficult. You and I make it difficult. We get our spiritual life all tangled up in church. And that's part of the problem. Our spiritual life is about a relationship with God. It's not about the number of times we come to church in a year. It's not about the stuff that we do in the church. It's not about the committees that we're on in the church. It's not about whether we're an elder or not an elder. Our spiritual life is about our relationship with the living God. A God who is alive and active in this world. A God who reveals himself if we will have eyes that are open to see the holy in the everyday around us. They were out of breath. It might not have been a long climb, but it was steep and the air felt thinner. Maybe that explained what they were seeing. Not that they could see much, as the light was very bright and intense. Just a minute before, the sky was blue, the birds sang, the breeze blew, no different from any other common or garden day. Then, just as the three disciples who had been pulled up the hill after Jesus were beginning to catch their breath, light erupted from the sky. The ground, the shadows, their heads, the rocks, the breeze, the singing. It was coming in all directions. They covered their eyes. They fell to the ground. They turned their heads away just as they saw three figures standing in front of them. One was clearly Jesus. The other two, unknown. Perhaps Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. Peter, in an intense moment of practicality, suggested building tents. Some of you would have done that too. Some of us would have done that. There were sparks of gold, flashes of silver, and it just kept coming out of everything, and it burned to the very back of their eyes. Hardly had his words left his mouth when suddenly it was like night. So intense had been the glory in that moment. Their senses had been ravaged by heaven and they were confused. What was up and what was down? What was their imagination and what was real? By the time they were able to open their eyes fully and see Jesus standing there in the familiar way they had always known him, they heard the voice. "This is my son. Listen to him." Just then, the birds flew. The wind stopped, and silence seemed to fall so heavily on that mountaintop. It was deeper than they had ever felt, like a great hollow after the noise of the voice. The everyday common things of their life and faith felt as if they were always just a breath away from bursting into glory. And they never saw things the same way again. Let us pray. Lord, may you birth in us a desire to know a palpable sense of your presence in our lives, in our worship, in our church community, so that we will be touched in such a way that we will never see things the same again. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We worship God together in the singing of number 596. Breathe on me, breath.